Hey, Tiny Army out there. God, you're so loyal. And we just want to let you know, to reward your loyalty, that for this episode, we wrote some erotica and smut. And if that's something that makes you feel a little squeamish on the inside, you definitely don't have to listen to it because, you know, boundaries are important. And you should just respect that and we'll respect you.
Buffy and Frodo were in the Hogwarts library late into the night, prepping for the final trek into Mordor.
Liz, I have to stop you.
Why?
Because this already sounds like the greatest story of all time.
World Stealers!
Hi, Kate.
Hi, Liz.
Do you know what this is?
I have a guess.
This is
World Stealers.
Do you hear that noise?
Maybe.
It's the beautiful noise of a story being told.
Oh, my favorite kind of noise.
Right into your headphones.
Yeah.
And from your headphones to your ears and from your ears to your brains. And we're telling you those stories because they were easy to write since we didn't have to make up any of the characters.
Yeah, because we stole them.
We stole them.
It's been great.
We love what we do.
Wow.
Which is not much.
Which is not much.
Someone else did most of the work for us. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Lowndes.
So this is the final episode of season two.
Oh, I'm sad.
I'm sad too.
I'm so sad. I just got overwhelmed with sadness.
I'm also excited though.
Why are you excited?
Because I got to read my smutty fanfic.
That's true. And I have decided, because we're again here in Philly, because I came to visit you for the finale series. I am laying on your bed. I am lounging.
Yes.
And I feel smutty. And while you were so polite to me and I was so nervous for my smutty fanfiction, I decided I'm going to bring the creep. And I'm just going to lay here and look at you and be like, don't say that word again. Yeah.
That's fine. Because mine, as far as smut goes, is pretty.
It's pretty tame. Yeah.
Pretty innocent.
So I'm going to bring the heat.
Excellent.
I'm going to take my shoes off.
Oh.
Don't judge me. And then I'm going to put my feet up so I can lounge on your pillows. I'm in your bed, too, which makes this all the better.
Yeah, you're right. Kate is lounging in my bed. She's like sitting against a little pillow fortress.
Yeah, very comfortable.
Oh,
and I'm ready for you to tell me a bedtime story.
Oh, I will, but I don't think it's going to make you sleepy.
Oh, God. Race car. Okay, well, tell me about how you decided to make this story. What inspired you to get hot?
So I have been dreading this episode, because not this episode, but this genre.
Right. I know.
Because I'm from Connecticut and sex makes me feel weird, you know?
Right. They burn people there for having sex.
Yeah. I'm like probably going to visit my parents and be burned as a witch.
Yeah, definitely.
Or like tarred and feathered. And, you know, we have a town green. They could easily put me in the stockades. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we both had this discussion upon, you know, the fact that Sabrina and Smut were like,
that
was the combo.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were like, oh, yeah, we're not going to do.
Those are high schoolers.
Yeah. No teenagers. That's not sexy.
It literally is Sabrina and the teenage witch.
Yeah, she is a teenage witch.
Title.
So I thought to myself, like, A, which characters do I feel comfortable writing erotica about?
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, narrowed it down to the adults. And then I was like, which character in that show, or which pairing of characters would feel as awkward having smut written about them as I feel writing smut?
Yeah, that sounds correct.
So obviously I went with Hilda and Dr. Cerberus.
Mm, they're so cute.
They're so cute. And also, like, Hilda has trouble saying the words. Like, there's a scene where she's like, well, and, you know, and Zelda's like, sex, S-E-X. And her response is like, yes, I can spell it. So I was like, oh, that me.
That is you. That's your spirit animal.
Yeah.
As a character.
So I just thought it would be fun to, you know, write a little, like a little, this is the first time they bone erotica.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I mean, they have like a unique situation, right?
They do, yeah.
Because and he is demon-filled?
He is. So Dr. Cerberus is a collector of the occult, like of occult books.
And, sure. I mean, aren't we all?
Aren't we? And he, at one point in his career, like tried a spell from one of them and it summoned an incubus. And now there's an incubus inside him. So he specifically has trouble with sex because he is possessed by a sex demon.
Right.
And if he gets too excited, it like bursts out and goes on a rampage.
Amazing.
So that's, yeah, that's one of the central problems that they have getting together is like, how do they bind the demon in order to make it safe for them to bone? Mm-hmm. And so in the
bone safety, Stephen.
So like, yeah, we'll get to that. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about my experience researching by like reading some fan fiction erotica.
Oh my God.
I just want to talk because like it's so, it's, we're a very like pro sex, not kink shaming.
Yes, no.
We love you all and whatever turns you
on. Whatever you like.
But I would like to talk a little bit about the deeply problematic world of fan fiction erotica.
Fan fiction erotica, yeah.
And I think because a lot of it is written, I would guess that more fan fiction is written by women.
It absolutely is, overwhelmingly.
And, you know, specifically young women, like teenage girls. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I just, I think that some of the fan fiction erotica is a testament to the lack of sex education in our schools and also just like a toxic culture around sex.
You're absolutely not wrong. I wrote fan fiction erotica when I was in high school for Heathers, the movie with Christian Slater.
That's a pretty sexy movie.
It is a sexy movie. And I remember specifically like writing erotica that was always like, there was a lot of like shoving inside. There was no like actual like female orgasm present because at 15, I didn't know that even existed in the way that I do now as an adult woman.
Right, right, right.
Because nobody told me the fuck about it. Also, every romance novel I ever read was like, I don't want to, but it's going to happen anyway. And now I like it.
Yeah. I think there's like such a, so two like overwhelming problems that I came away with.
Yes.
From reading erotica, a lot of which are actually written, I'm sure, by teenagers, but about teenagers. You get a lot of like Harry Potter.
Yeah. A lot of Draco Malfoy, right?
Draco Hermione is a big one. Ooh. So first of all, and this is the more serious of the two problems, consent.
Oh
my God, consent. I know it's not like,
I know consent isn't sexy.
It's hard, right? Yeah, everybody does consent stuff, but like,
it's needed.
And it is. It can be sex. You can make consent. I think that was like a big driving force of my fan fiction was to make it like very clear that it's like consent forward and like woman driven. And that's okay. That can be sexy too. Mm. But we need to teach our little girls and our little boys about affirmative consent.
Do you have any like examples from the fan fiction that you read?
So one thing that bothered me because it seemed like it's one of those insidious things that seems like consent but it's not was I was reading one in particular. It was a Draco Hermione one where he kept saying like, I'm gonna keep pushing, I'm gonna keep going, you have to tell me to stop. And so as long as she stayed silent, he was gonna keep
going.
So that's not what consent looks like.
It's not. I would argue, though, if he, and I'm sure this did not happen in the fan fiction, but if he was like, hey, our kink or my fetish is that you stay silent and I do whatever I want to you and like say your safe word whenever you're uncomfortable. And like, I'm totally chill with that. But that's probably, I'm very certain it's not the conversation that was
had.
No,
that was.
Yeah.
The conversation was like, I know you're a virgin. You've never done any of this. So I'm going to keep going until you get, but you have to tell me.
Right.
Not
you have to regulate
as opposed to me being like
male energy.
Right. So I didn't love that. The other thing I didn't love, well, it's not that I didn't love, I just think this is funny.
Okay.
And I'm sure this is being written by people who are maybe not yet sexually active themselves.
Like, absolutely.
Let's talk about what your first time having sex is going to be like.
So there's a lot of like virginity losing in fan fiction.
Yeah. And there's this trope that I just find so funny of like, two people will be doing it. The girl's definitely a virgin. And she's like, I've never done this before. And he's like, it's okay, baby. It's going to be fine.
Right.
They bone. Somehow it's amazing. He's so good at it.
The best sex she's ever had.
Her body just knows how to respond.
Yeah.
Somehow she orgasms the first time.
Never.
And I was like, I had a good first sexual experience.
I did too, actually.
A boyfriend that I loved and trusted.
Same. Great person. Shout out to Kenny. You're amazing.
Yeah. I didn't come, though.
No, not even close.
And it wasn't because it was bad. It was just...
No, it wasn't their fault.
It was actually an enjoyable experience. It was no one's fault.
And we had a great time.
But... Sorry, you're just probably not going to orgasm the first time.
You're young. Yeah. I mean, you're not necessarily always a child. I know you lost it later in your 20s, but like, still, your brain's not fully there.
You're young.
You're young. Your body just hasn't figured it out. It's okay.
The best part of this trope is that oftentimes at the end, like they will have done, and she'll be like, I've never done that before. And he'll be like, neither have I. So let's talk about how bad guys are at sex their first time.
They're not great.
Not good.
They lack education. Nobody taught them. So listen, I'm not down. No. Not, you know.
Again, it's no one's fault except for the public school system in America.
Yeah.
And
you know, I read a good amount of gay male fan fiction when I was doing my research because I wanted to be like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm, also, like, I don't know. I find that hot because I'm a fucking weirdo. So
listen, like we said last week, nothing wrong with two beautiful men enjoying each other's bodies.
Yes. And very like consensually and ravenous and whatever. Yes. But the idea of virginity is not as pervasive in male on male fan fiction.
Yeah, I think virginity is very much fetishized in straight culture.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think gay men, because I don't have any testament to this. This is not my body experience, but I'm very curious what losing your virginity is like for gay men. Because I think gay male sex, gay cis male sex specifically, like there's so many different ways to have sex, right? Mm-hmm. Oral is sex. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just so many ways. As opposed to the straight way, there's only one way.
Yeah, and it's weird.
I mean, there's not, but like that's how we advertise it in society.
We think about sex as being different from like manual or oral sex. Like
pleasure,
That's, you know, you can give blowjobs, but you're still a virgin. And like, that's
fucking weird.
Dumb.
It's very weird because there's something way more intimate about oral sex than regular old poundy poundies.
Because you can't pretend you don't have bodies when there are genitals in your face.
It's literally your identity is being confronted by a genital.
So it's just really interesting. And I think it is much more of a heterosexual thing that there's this fetishization of virginity.
If there are any 15-year-olds listening, 15-year-olds, I need to tell you, not that your first time doesn't matter, but I guarantee you, you're going to think about it a lot less than you think you will in your future.
Yeah.
It's going to come up maybe once a year where you go, oh, yeah, that's how that happened. And then it will disappear from your mind and you'll never think of it again. And there are plenty of other sexual experiences that will reoccur for you that you have in your quote unquote spank bank or even in your just like good memory bank. Losing your virginity is not going to be in there.
No.
Like not even close. Like there are movie sex scenes that are in there.
I also just want to say my virginity. I've never heard the phrase spank bank before, but thank you for that.
Never ever heard the phrase
I
spank
get it
bank.
I absolutely get it.
Jesus.
But I've never heard that.
I can't what kind of fence do they have in Connecticut that you've never heard the term?
I think it's around
bank.
All of New England, and that's where I spent most of my life.
Jesus. Wow. Well, you can't walk a foot in Florida without hitting a spank bank, so I'm glad I brought that into your life.
I love that.
I can't wait to hear your spank bankable story.
It's going
to
be so spank bankable.
Spank bankable.
Yeah, so before we get started, I will say the final thing. And I was so irritated about this that I texted Kate and was like, I can't believe this happens. Your clitoris isn't a button. Stop calling it a button. Those are my qualms.
I am on board with all of your qualms.
So this is going to be an erotic fan fiction about two people who are kind of uncomfortable with their bodies getting together. And they love each other. Like at this point, he has already told her that he loves her.
Mm-hmm.
I think this relationship is, spoilers for Sabrina. Guys, you didn't come here.
Guys, just watch it. It's on Netflix.
Netflix.
God, you all have Netflix.
Oh, take a break. Go watch it.
Okay.
So at the where my story starts, like they've already had this conversation about how he says, like, we can't be together because I have this incubus.
Right.
And she then proceeds to tell him that she is a witch.
Right.
And so she like goes home to do some research about, so she goes home to do some research about how to get rid of the demon. And then of course Zelda comes in and is like, I've fucked sex demons before. You just need a little bit of Damascus steel.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening, like later you see the Damascus steel and it's like these little bracelets that he wears.
Oh.
But for the purposes of my story, it looks different the first time.
Oh, I see. So, before they discover like the more convenient version.
Yeah. Before they like, you know, weld like a small bracelet.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna be handcuffs.
This may not go over well. We'll try it for like the first part of your story. I'm just gonna go ahead and be the DVD commentary of The Dark Lord. I'm just gonna be over here.
As ever, like Satan is creeping in a corner watching people bone.
Hello, I'm here and I'm gonna love. I've got a goat dick. Right?
Probably. That seems about right.
Anyway.
I've got a goat dick.
I've got a goat dick. My name is Satan. Da, 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 da.
Hey, yeah.
Okay.
On that note. Here we go.
The bell above the entrance to Cerberus Books tinkled, and moonlight spilled into the shop as the door creaked open. Tentatively, Hilda Spellman peered around the door, wondering if perhaps she was too late, and Dr. Cerberus had gone home for the night. Surely, though, he wouldn't have left the door unlocked unless he was still... We're closed! A deep voice rang out from the recesses of the stacks, and Hilda stepped fully into the shop and shut the door quietly behind her, plunging the store back into darkness.
Yes, I know, it's just me, Dr. C.
Hilda flicked the switch by the door, bathing the rows of bookshelves in the dim light of the hanging lamps. She began to walk to the back of the store, then hesitated as a mischievous smile crossed her lips. In one fluid motion, she turned on her heel, whipped a big brass key out of her coat pocket, and locked the door from the inside. After all, if all went to plan, they wouldn't want to be interrupted. And if it didn't, well, no sense in letting a demon run loose through Greendale. Hilda. She turned back to find Dr. Cerberus in the front room, looking at her with mingled pleasure and fear. I thought we agreed to stay away from each other until we figured out my problem. You know, he coughed, his cheeks coloring slightly. You know I can't control it when you're around.
Sorry.
Yes, you can't. Oh, no. No, you can't control your sexual desires.
Oh, yeah, we haven't even gotten to anything.
Oh my God,
sexy.
Satan is crow so creepy right now.
Yeah, Satan.
Also, I, on a small plug for my other podcast, we watched this porn where this woman was getting casted for a movie, and every time she went into audition with like a new producer, they'd be like, we need you to be special. And she would go, do you want me to lock the door? And they'd go, it locks from the inside. It locks automatically or whatever.
Ew.
And
that man was Matt Lauer.
Oh, God. Well, Satan is in the room. Okay. Anyway, but that was a fun. She always loved it, so it was fine. But,
okay. As long as there was consent.
You know, I love when the door is locked now. Oh.
Ah, well, yes, about that, Hilda began, her blush matching his own. Well, you know when I told you I was a witch?
Dr. Cerberus nodded. It had been mere hours since he'd discovered that this odd little woman whom he adored was even odder than he had thought.
Well, what I failed to mention was that it's just that I'm not the only one. I come from a family of them. There's a whole community of us, in fact, and... my sister Zelda, you've met her, tall, very beautiful, a little mean if we're being honest, but deep down she means well.
Hilda, Dr. Cerberus interrupted gently.
Yes, sorry, so it turns out Zelda has a bit of experience when it comes to incubi, that is. I learned a bit more than I wanted to know about sex demons, in fact.
What did she say? Can I be cured?
Sadly, no. And according to Hilda, you might not want to be. She seems to think it can be quite a bit of fun, in fact.
A nervous giggle escaped Hilda, which she tried to cover with a cough.
But it can be contained, so that we can be near each other.
Dr. Cerberus caught his breath, feeling his heart begin to pick up pace. How near?
How?
How close near? How close can we get?
No. I love it. keep going.
Satan, keep it in your pants.
You know he's naked all the time.
All the time. Go dick swinging.
There's no clothes in hell. They burn right
very
off.
Very flammable. Okay.
How near? Well, since you ask, all the way near. Together.
All the way in. We call that a cervix knocker.
Oh, that's a painful one.
Gross. Ew. Okay, keep going.
Together, even. You know, if that's something you would want. Unable to contain himself any longer, Dr. Cerberus crossed the space between them and took her in his arms. Even as he did so, he could feel the demon inside him feeding on his excitement. He pressed her warm body against his and buried his face in her hair, smelling the familiar scent of her shampoo. His eyes flashed gold and a low growl escaped his lips. He felt Hilda gently but firmly push him away, holding him at arm's length and looking up at him with a loving smile. Now, Dr. C, you mustn't get too excited. She released him with one hand, swinging her bag off her shoulder. It dropped to the floor with a clunk. Not yet, anyway. Hilda, what on earth have you got in that bag? Hilda grinned. Oh, Dr. C, just you wait. She bent down and began to rummage through the bag. Dr. Cerberus was forced to take a step backwards. Being this close to her was intoxicating.
I want all men to describe their internalized patriarchy as a sex demon. So that they will respect space and boundaries and recognize that they have a problem.
I have a sex demon. It's difficult for me to control.
Sex demon that makes me a bad person. But if we're careful, I could be a good person. Okay, keep going. I love it.
Okay.
Being this close to her was intoxicating, enough to bring his demon roaring to life. He had watched her for months, since the very first day she'd come into his shop, able to maintain control only by telling himself that a woman like her would never look twice at a man like him. But now that he knew that she wanted him too, that for some reason he would never be able to explain, this brilliant, warm, funny, beautiful woman felt for him what he felt for her, well, it was all too much, really. Since the night they had first kissed, his demon had lived a hair's breadth away from the surface, refusing to be buried anymore. Hilda straightened up, holding a pair of manacles that looked like they'd be more at home in the Tower of London than in a musty old bookshop, even one with the occult leanings of Cerberus books. The surprise was enough to make Dr. Cerberus forget the internal war he was waging with the beast. He looked at Hilda, his face a mask of naked surprise. She blushed again, this time turning a deep scarlet from hairline to neck. Oh, it's not what you think. I mean, it is, but it's not why you think. I mean, no offense, if that's what you're into, that's fine, and I respect that. No shame here, very sex positive at all. I mean, that is... She took a deep breath, steadying herself. These are Damascus steel. Very strong, practically made to bind demons. Between these and a fairly simple incantation, we should be able to control your little friend quite nicely. Not entirely, he'll still be there, but by and large, you'll be in control. Eventually, I'll melt these down and we'll come up with something a bit more subtle. But these were what Zelda had on hand, and I didn't want to wait. I mean, we can if you want to. I don't want to pressure you or anything, but...
She stepped towards him with an uncharacteristically steely look in her eye and kissed him softly.
What do you think?
Dr. Cerberus looked at her, lost for words. Then he took her pale hand in his. Come with me.
Too romantic. Too nice. They're too nice to each other.
They need to bone.
They gotta fuck.
I think one of the reasons
Satan,
I'm reading...
relax.
Yeah, Satan.
My God. Romance
Stop
is fine, Satan.
Helicoptering your goat dick in the corner.
It's just nonstop. It's kind of amazing, actually.
I'm feeling very awkward.
You are you are true to the character. You are encompassing the mood. I... also feel a little awkward.
You feel awkward?
But the
lounging
Satan,
in my bed as I
Satan
read you sexy
that's
stories.
The in the room with us is like into it, is so yeah. into it, and is being a total creep.
Always.
He does, from what I understand, not want so much romance, but fuck him.
Fuck him.
He doesn't understand.
You know what? These are two consenting adults.
Yeah, well, you know how much he hates that.
Warm each other up. Yeah, he's not a fan. Satan.
Oh, Satan.
If you don't like it, you can write your own erotica.
He does all the time. Does. It's called reality.
Okay.
They walked hand in hand through a door in the back of the shop that Hilda had never noticed before. It led up a narrow staircase and into a small apartment that contained little more than a stove, an armchair, and an old-fashioned brass bed. It was tidy except for the stacks of leather-bound tomes that covered every surface. Usually, Hilda loved old books and would have stopped to examine his collection, especially the copy of Wolfsbane and Witchery, a practical guide to herbs and potions that lay open on the counter. But there would be time for that later. Right now, she had other priorities. I'm sorry it's so small. I used to live down the block, but... I know.
Let's stop for a minute. He's not talking about his penis right
now. No, okay. He's talking about his apartment.
Okay, cool.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
How big is his dick? Are we going to find out?
You know I didn't write about dicks. Yes. Come on.
I didn't either.
I assume it's big. He's a handsome man that I would like to think has a big dick.
Very handsome man. He has BDE for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, okay. Go on. Please give me more.
I'm sorry it's so small. I used to live down the block, but I spend all my time in the shop anyway, so I thought, it's perfect, Hilda interrupted. It has everything we need.
A bed?
Oh, bro. Yeah. You don't even need that. You don't even need that, right?
Nope.
You just need each other. You just need each other. Yeah.
Oh.
And dicks.
Dicks.
Satan. Shh.
Quit it, Satan. Satan, we don't need dicks to have a fun, sexy time.
No, obviously.
Get out of here.
You sound like NASA scientists trying to send up an all-female crew because they're afraid that if men are there, there'll be sex.
Sex!
Guess what? You don't need men for sex.
Surprise!
Satan, relax.
Satan, you're a misogynist.
The king of misogynists. We kind of love him. He's very cute over there. In his tiny chibi goat form.
She led him over to the bed. He put an arm around her waist and kissed her, but quickly pulled away. Are you sure those will work? He asked, nodding to the chains in her hand.
Yes. I mean, I haven't tested them out, but Zelda has, and she lived to tell the tale, so...
Then you'd better put them on me.
Oh, damn! Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, but take off your shirt first, if you please.
He blinked in surprise.
It's just that... Once your handcuffs are on, it gets hard to do, and I'm assuming at some point we'll want to be less clothed.
Without another word, he unbuttoned his black shirt as she undid the clasp of the cloak around his neck, letting it fall to the floor in a rippling pool of black silk. He lay on the bed, offering his arms to Hilda, who gently snapped the manacles shut around his wrist, muttering in Latin as she did so. As soon as they were shut, a look of relief crossed Dr. Cerberus's face.
It's gone.
I mean, it's not gone, but it stopped fighting to get out. I can feel it, Hilda. You're a miracle worker.
Yes, well, thank you. But even so, we'd better attach the other ends to the bed. Just the first time, in case something goes wrong.
Dr. Cerberus grinned. Is that why, Hilda? Or do you just want me chained up?
Oh, damn, Dr. Cerberus! Damn, boy! Oh my god. Satan, how do you... Satan's quiet.
Oh, wow. That. Oh,
you shushed him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dr. C, I wouldn't, Hilda sputtered.
Dr. Cerberus sat up and kissed her, pulling her onto the bed next to him. She let herself be pulled down, but even as she enjoyed the kiss, she took his hands firmly in hers and one by one cuffed each of them to the brass headboard. Then she straddled his waist, slowly unbuttoning her own shirt. He watched her in rapt silence, and she leaned forward, kissing his neck, feeling his racing pulse under her lips. She smiled, and all traces of embarrassment gone, she reached down to unbutton his trousers.
Yeah, get your dick out. Wow, Satan.
Satan, chill.
Let's show the boobies. What? What's happening, Satan? My God.
You will not relax over there.
I mean, they're two consenting adults. Yes, they have genitals, but you need to chill.
Just like, let it happen. It'll happen in its own time.
Get to it.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I feel so awkward about this.
So I'm red.
Me too.
Okay. Keep going to go do it.
She could feel his excitement pressed against her hand.
Uh-huh.
That's a stick.
I know what that is.
Thank you.
Literally, like, don't be Captain Obvious today. Just let it happen. Just, you know, just let it happen.
She could feel his excitement pressed against her hand, and he shuddered a little at her touch. She pulled off his pants and admired him as he lay, chained to the bed, naked save for his socks.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I think there is nothing funnier than a naked man in socks.
Oh, it's kind of hot, though. It's wonderful. It's so nerdy and great.
Oh, it's like sexy hilarious, and I wanted it in my stories.
It depends.
Like
one of my favorite socks. Dr. Sherbert absolutely is naked in white socks. If you have black socks, there's something kind of like American Psycho about that that's hot. But yeah,
he's in some in like white. A button down and like slacks, but then also like athletic tube socks because he's a dork.
We like compression socks because he's on his feet all day.
You got a feel for the guy.
Oh, okay. God. Okay.
She pulled off his pants and admired him as he lay, chained to the bed, naked save for his socks, which he kicked off impatiently himself. She lay on top of him again, pressing her body against his until she couldn't tell where she ended and he began.
He ended in the vagina. Satan! We understand anatomy. It's supposed to be coy.
This is erotica. We're trying to be a little subtle here.
She's a terrible commentator.
Never inviting him to a podcast taping again.
I mean, this is our last one. Maybe he's trying to, like, I don't know, blow us out with a bang.
What if we were co-hosted by Satan?
Next season three, Liz, Kate, and Satan.
Oh, it'd be a much more fun version of Three's Company.
Come and knock on our door. Hell's been waiting for you.
Okay.
All right, back to the story.
Here we go.
Are you all right, darling? She whispered. No chance of losing control?
None, he answered, his breath tickling her ear. But Hilda, are you sure you want this? I love you, but I can wait.
Well, I love you too, and I bloody well can't.
In that case, I have just one question. He looked into her eyes, and for a moment, she thought she saw a flash of gold.
Sorry. I'm really proud of this next part.
I'm so excited.
Really funny.
I don't even want to comment. I want
to. Okay. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through it without laughing.
Okay. Right.
In that case, I have just one question. He looked into her eyes, and for a moment, she thought she saw a flash of gold. Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Yeah, she's a bad witch. She's not a witch. Why is Satan from the South?
All right.
Okay, yeah. Ooh. What kind of witch is she? Tell me.
Oh, Dr. C, don't you know? We Spellmans pride ourselves on being both.
And without another word, she took him inside her.
Amazing. Amazing. I love it.
In her hundreds of years, Hilda had never had such an extraordinary lover, even without the use of his hands. They started slowly, moving in unison, exploring each other with their mouths. Hilda ran her fingers over his chest, clutching at his thickly curled hair. She bent to kiss him again, and he growled with excitement, whispering to her all the things he would do next time when they were sure of their incantations and his hands were free.
Anal. What? Satan!
Oh my God, I was not expecting that.
It's not me, it's him.
See, let them get there. That takes a lot of trust.
You have to be very trusting of your partner.
It takes trust and lube, and they don't have any turtle's blood.
No. Oh, gross.
Sorry. Throwback to last week's fanfic. Okay.
They moved faster and deeper, panting together with exertion and excitement, pleasure building in both of them until they finally exploded with ecstasy, Dr. Cerberus letting out a howl that could only come from the incubus inside him.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Afterwards, they lay together, tangled in the sheets, each unable to speak. Finally, Hilda lifted her head from his chest and reached up to unlock his cuffs from the bed, though they remained firmly around his wrists.
I think if they made it through that, they'll hold, don't you?
In response, Dr. Cerberus wrapped his arms around her, pulling her close to him. Deep inside his chest, the demon purred with contentment. He could tell it wasn't thrilled to be trapped, but the way things were going, it would certainly be well fed.
I love you, Hilda Spellman. Of course you do, lamb, she said sleepily. I'm really quite extraordinary. She kissed him, and within minutes, they were both asleep.
Oh, that's really sweet. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Satan, did you like that ending?
No.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I guess we have our answer there. That was beautiful and great and so truly an homage to fanfiction erotica.
Yes.
Like, you hit all the markers. Mm-hmm. You really like, you know, I feel like in my story, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be my own version
of
hotness.
Yours was very original.
Yeah. Not to say that yours was not original. Yours was beautiful and hilarious.
Mine was purposefully
awkward.
Structured.
Yes. Yes. Yours was purposefully like everything that I love about erotic fanfiction.
I wanted to take a classic fanfiction erotica and then turn it into a thing where the dude had very little power and it was very female driven.
And that he was very respectful, but not in like a weird way. Because sometimes the dudes can be like overly apologetic.
Yeah.
In a way that's like, okay, but you still don't, like, you're not going to enjoy this.
Right.
It's like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that was wonderful.
To be weird, you just need to like ask permission. Like I like they both checked in with each other.
Yeah, I love the I love yous in a way that aren't hyper dramatic. It's just like, I love you and we had sex together and now let's fall asleep and we have lives.
Yay! And I also like, because she's such an awkward character who's like mm-hmm. often a little bit unsure of herself. Mm-hmm. And so I just liked having the end where she was like, yeah, I'm great.
I'm pretty great.
I would love me too.
The show overall, they are pretty like powerful women.
Yeah.
And they acknowledge it. And I, oh my God. I mean, I love in the show when Zelda to Hilda is like, fucking go out there and get your man, your hot stuff. And then she puts on that dress and it's just hysterical.
So cute. But I also love like that scene. She was like, are you making fun of me? And Zelda's like, no.
No,
you're fucking Spellman.
Yes.
Go get your man.
Yeah, I know. I love that. Thank you for bringing that joy to me.
Oh, my pleasure.
Satan is very downtrodden right now with how it ended, but he'll be fine.
He's going to be fine.
He'll be fine. Go read my story, Satan. You'll be very pleased. Well, this is the end.
This is the end.
Send in the clowns.
My only friend. The end.
It's the end. Oh, man. What a wild ride this has been.
This has been we've done so
everything.
Much this season.
I feel like we've done everything. I feel like I've written a novel mm-hmm. about being a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've literally traversed states to record.
Yeah.
As have you.
As have I.
We've
covered every genre.
We've stolen so many worlds.
Oh my God. We are running out of space. I mean, honestly, the reason I moved to Philly and got a bigger apartment was so we'd have storage space for all the worlds we're stealing.
Yeah, they take up a lot of space.
We're going to have to buy property soon.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Guys, if you enjoyed this season, we need to hear it.
Yes, please. We are so insecure. We need constant validation.
Yeah.
Please tell us.
We've got these worlds eat a lot. And they're very expensive to feed.
Mm-hmm. Got to feed our worlds.
So, you know, what would be helpful is if we got more audience members. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what everyone wants? Everyone wants more attention in this world. And so if you could give us your attention and then pass this along to friends who, you know, would fucking love this. Because I had so much fun listening to your story, Liz. And I had so much fun listening to all your stories and writing stories for you, knowing that you would laugh with me.
Also, so I had so much fun listening to yours.
Thank
and
you.
I know we really explored some new accents that we were bad at this season.
Yep. Uh-huh. Some terrible ones.
Yeah.
We explored a lot of different ways that feminism can be in stories.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we...
I think we really stretched ourselves as writers.
Yeah, we made each other laugh.
We hope we made you laugh. And if we did,
yes,
we'd love you to tell us.
Tell us.
In the form of an iTunes review.
Yeah. Or in the form of an email as well. Or
like
a direct
tweet
message.
Yeah.
Or a tweet or whatever. Yeah. Just
let us know.
Give us your voice, you know, because you're as much as we write these stories and put them on and kind of like give ourselves pats on the back for being the leaders of this tiny army. We want to hear our tiny army scream out with joy.
Yeah, because we love you.
Because we do love you.
We want to make you happy.
A little bit of you.
Sexually fulfilled.
Yeah. We want you to feel confident in what you're doing and your pursuits. And we want you to sing songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we love you so much.
And follow us at
World Stealers on Instagram and Twitter. You can find us at morbidnator.com/worldstealers. You can email us at worldstealerspod@gmail.com. And, you know, look out for announcements about season 3. Because if you think we're going to stop fucking doing this, you are crazy.
Wrong.
This is too fun.
Never stop.
Never stop. Well, y'all keep making worlds. So
yeah.
And then don't stop us from stealing them.
Yeah. I mean, if you want us to stop, you better guard your worlds better.
Also, at one point, Tiny Army is going to truly take down the evil force that is copyright lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're coming for all of it.
Tiny Army is coming for intellectual property.
Oh, fuck it. It's not. Yeah, I love it. IP destruction. All right. Well, in the meantime, friends, Tiny Army.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lovers.
Hide your kids.
Hide your worlds.
Because we're coming for them. Goodbye.
Bye.